The Jews heard the Torah in a particular way. You have heard it said, begins Christ. They had heard it said that murder and adultery meant only the physical act itself. They had heard it said, it's okay to get a divorce if you have the right certificate. They had heard it said, it is lawful to swear, only perform your oaths to the Lord. The Jews had heard it said. That is to say, they heard God's law in a particular way that made that law sound pleasant and even doable. They heard it in a way that provided some escape for their sin. Anger, lust, divorce, permissible as long as you don't physically kill and commit adultery, as long as you get the right certificate, as long as you keep what you have sworn, then you're off the hook. Caveats apply to the word of God. Escape clauses for a word that seems a little too harsh. Such was the way Jesus' hearers heard his word. And things haven't changed all that much. We too hear God's word in a particular way, either from other people or within ourselves. You have heard it said, it's okay to get angry if it's for the right reason. We have heard it said, it's okay to lust, just don't commit adultery. We have heard it said, there is such a thing as no-fault divorce. After all, sometimes marriages just don't work out. Reality does show a common thread between us and Jesus' hearers. That is, we want God's word in a particular way. We want to hear it in a way that will provide some escape, some leeway, some leniency for sinful behavior. We want to hear it in a way that puffs us up and lawfully allows us to do those things we want to do, like get angry, lust, divorce on a whim. We want to be Christian, unless we have to give some things up. Or we hear something from God that we just don't agree with. We boast of being faithful, but we don't take kindly when we are confronted with our sin. And that is what God's law does. You have heard it said, but I say to you, says Christ. Jesus is not giving a new spin on the Torah, the Old Testament. He's not reinterpreting it. He's taking God's law to its proper conclusion. He teaches it and proclaims it as it was intended all along, and that is this. Friends, God's law has always demanded holiness and perfection from his people, and that includes even perfect holy hearts, and that's the scary part. Even in the heart, sins can be committed that God's law disallows. Even the heart, what's inside of you, is judged by God. And this is what Jesus is pointing out. You may not have physically killed somebody. Most people haven't. But the fifth commandment goes beyond even that, says our Lord. And it forbids even a heart filled with wrath. You have heard it said, but I say to you. What we hear and what our Lord and our God says, there is a distinction between the two, and we mustn't blur the two. God's law, it's righteous, it's holy. God's law commands us to do those works that are pleasing to him. Holiness comes from God, and he wants holy people. God doesn't want evil people. God has no place for the wicked in his kingdom. Rather, he wants all men to be blameless and pure, to refrain from sin, to walk in his light and trust in his ways. It is not God's will for us to be angry and to lust, to divorce and swear carelessly, even if the world sees no problem with those things. God forbids them. God forbids us to be sexually immoral and impure. God doesn't allow for lying and deception, deceit, crooked hearts and deception. God is holy and he wants holy people. And he takes temptation so seriously that we hear in this gospel lesson, Jesus even goes so far to use self-mutilation to prove his point. Flee from temptation. Having a chopped off hand is preferable to eternity apart from our God. Now, in these demands that we hear, in God's command for us to be holy like he is, when we hear God, when we hear Christ say something like, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, which he says in the Sermon on the Mount, that very word of God, friends, that commands us to be holy and blameless, it hits us like a sword. It hits us like a sword that runs us through to the hilt. God's law is perfect, it is just, and that's precisely the problem for us. And it's a problem simply because we are not. A holy word encounters unclean sinners, and when that happens, we get agitated. There's a clash. When the Jews heard the word, they heard it in a particular way only to avoid confronting the reality that God's law cannot be fulfilled by mortal men. It is too perfect, too holy, and we are too sinful and unclean. And friends, this is exactly why we heard it last week. We heard it last week in the gospel lesson when Jesus says he did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Christ comes to keep the law, to meet its demands, and the perfection he has, he gives to you. This mustn't be forgotten whenever we encounter God's living word. Divorce is so commonplace in society, one might think that Jesus never talks about it. And yet we hear from the gospel reading, our Lord has some very stern words to anyone thinking about ending their marriage. Based on the images and the graphics that we see all around us, one would think lusting and looking at the wrong thing isn't that big of a deal. Our Lord Jesus Christ says otherwise. But here's the deal. Even when we understand this stuff, believe it, trust in God's word, and try to keep his law as we should, there is that reality that I know you're thinking about, and that is this: temptation still comes. Temptation rages, and we stumble, and we fall. Before I really had a mature understanding of the gospel, I was a young pup before seminary. When I would read the Sermon on the Mount, I'll be honest, it scared me. And it was a part in Holy Scripture that I wanted to get past very quickly. Why? Because the words of Jesus are very strong here, very powerful, and they don't go down easily. Here God stands teaching his people, telling them that even the sins of your heart, sins we all struggle with, these sins too are counted by God. But Christian, that's exactly the point. That is the point of God's holy law, his good law, to show you, yes, that's right, there is no escape from your sin. There is no leeway. There is no leniency with the law. It does crush and convict. It does back you into a corner from which there is no escape. And that's what it is supposed to do. Christ commands works, and the law is not abolished, but Jesus did not come to turn you to yourself. Jesus does not come preaching self-reliance and self-help tactics. Christ is not on the scene here trying to make more Pharisees out of people, telling them how righteous and pious and holy they can be. Christ came. Christ came to take away your sin. The law that shows you your sins, Christ removes. That's the point. The law reveals what Jesus takes away. And so, Christian, it is a good thing. It is a good thing when by the grace of God, we are brought to repentance, to realize our weakness and our despair. It is a good thing when God's law shows us that we cannot save ourselves. And by the grace of God, we turn to where salvation is freely given. And then that is in he who was sent to keep this law. And his name is Jesus. When you recognize your sin, that's a good thing, because that means God's word is doing its work. confess and receive boldly what God gives you. Confess and receive boldly his mercy, his forgiveness, his grace, and his holiness that you have by faith in Christ. Jesus is pointing the people here to himself. He is saying to them, God's law is mighty, and it is just, and no man can keep it. But I have done so. I came to fulfill the law, and all which I have done, living, dying, and rising again, I have done for you. For those of you who have gone through the bitterness of a divorce and you swallowed that pill, for those of you who wrestle with the sins we have heard this morning, anger, lust, greed, hey, let's just zoom out a bit. For every sinner struggling with sin and temptation, looking for help, looking for peace, looking for salvation, it is yours. It is yours in Christ who calls you blessed. Why do I say that? We must keep in mind how our Lord Jesus begins the beginning of this great proclamation. That is, he calls you blessed. Blessed are you, says our Lord Jesus Christ. To be blessed is to be holy and forgiven by faith in Jesus. To be blessed means living the Christian life where you live in your baptism, where you live daily washed and forgiven, united to Christ. Living the Christian life is every day repenting and confessing and receiving what God gives you. When you are stricken in your conscience, when you feel God's law doing its work and you see your sins and you recognize your despair, turn to where forgiveness is found. Confess boldly and know this, that this Jesus, this Christ of the Gospels came exactly for that reason, to take away your sin, to freely absolve you without any merit or worthiness in you, to give you his peace and bring you to himself. This word, this gospel, our Lord and our God has spoken. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.